Here, it's really packed. I'm kidding, those of you on the internet. It's a light Sunday, but we'll believe that this lightness is temporary, and that the weight of the glory of God will come in here. Amen. So, let's go ahead and just pray for folks that we know are traveling and are. Some are back east, some are just a couple hundred miles away, but we hold them in our hearts. So, Father, we just lift up, Lord, all those who are traveling today, all those, Lord, that are with family and enjoying time together. Father, we pray you would just bless them. Lord, pray that you would just let them have a richness, Lord, in you, Lord, while they fellowship and they have family time. Lord, we pray that there would just be an experience that each and every one of them would have, Lord, of being closer to you and being drawn into your love and into your heart. Just bless them all, Lord. Bless them. Let them be refreshed. Those who are going away for vacations and having rekindle and re-strength time, Lord, pray just bring encouragement to their hearts. And Father, we just pray right now, Lord, for us as well that are here this morning, that we too would experience a deep level, Lord, of your refreshing, Lord, of your rest, Lord, that we would receive, Lord, a deeper dose, Lord, just like a pharmaceutical dose, a deeper dose, Lord, of your love and of your mercy this morning. That there would be change and transformation, Lord, that would come to our lives, Lord, because we've spent time with you and time with each other. We just ask, Lord, that our hearts would be open as well as our spiritual eyes, that we might experience all that you desire for us in our lives. In Jesus' name.
Jesus. to your arms, I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world, forever reign. I'm running to your arms, I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be mine. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world, forever reign.
Yeah. first slide where it says, the song we were just singing. Your love is devoted like a ring of solid gold, like a vow that's been tested. And I don't know about anybody else, but my vow, my covenant with God has been tested many times. Watching them close the casket on the lid of our son at 14. Maybe somebody's been bullied at their school, or sickness, death, a nephew that's been burned. I mean, there's a lot of things that test the vow that we make to the Lord. But the thing about it is, he's faithful. It says you're faithful. And that's why we sing. Because he's faithful, not because our vow is tested and we make it through it barely, but because he's faithful. That's why we praise him. And that hit me so hard just now when we sang that one line, because sometimes I didn't make it through so good. I didn't react right or respond very well, or I don't know what else to say other than sometimes our vows are tested, to the vows that we make to the Lord. And he doesn't want anything other than for us to know he's one very, very faithful. Even though you see the lid shut on a casket of a 14-year-old, even though you get bullied, even though your nephew gets burned and he's in pain, even though all of these things happen, he's faithful. And the reason we can sing that, the reason we can say he's faithful, is because we are still standing here. We are still here. And we're still here to praise him and worship him. So as you continue singing right now, I mean, you guys, this is introspect. This is not about anybody else. This is about who you are and how you feel about God. And it doesn't matter anybody else that's standing around, or you know, anything else that's happening in the world. This is so personal. This comes down to the heart of it. Is that, do you make it through the vow or don't you? And even if you make it through the vow and you didn't do so good, praise him because you made it through it. You know, he allows us. He gives us the strength that we need for today. I was reading about the children of Israel wanting to scrap together on Saturday the manna, or on Friday the manna that was meant, you know, just for that day, and how they woke up the next morning, it was full of maggots and mildew and all that stuff because it wasn't meant for tomorrow. And the strength for today is only meant for today. So do you need strength today to get that vow, you know, like a vow that's been tested? If your vow is being tested, do you need strength for today? Go to the one who gives you the strength, because when we're weak, he is strong. Thank you.
built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ Savior's blood, through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace.
Christ alone. He is our cornerstone. through that storm and that time of testing our devotion, and our vows that are tested, He's the one that upholds us. He's the one that securely has us in His loving arms. And I'm glad that it's not up to me to keep myself in Christ. What?
This is already open.
Oh, thank you.
Because I can never see.
Do what?
There you go.
There we go. Put my chair back. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
To some who've just been able to arrive. Praise the Lord. How's everyone's week been going? Good? Good. How's the harvest going? You guys are here today on a harvest day. You got a little bit of a break? Then you're right back at it when you go back? Oh, you guys are hardcore. Oh, you get the rest of the day off? Oh, good for you. You guys deserve it, right? Has it been hard in the smoke? At times, yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. So you've already been looking kind of at the manna story, huh?
No, it just came to me.
Oh, it just came to you. Actually, what that was is they were commanded on Fridays, the day before the Sabbath, to collect the extra amount for the day that would come, which would be the Sabbath, so they wouldn't collect on that day. But what happened is that people were out there. They were already collecting their manna for the day. And what the manna is the heavenly bread that came down, and it was a miracle. The dew on the ground would become like a small wafer, and they would be able to eat it. And another place in the Bible says that it was the food of angels. So that's pretty powerful, isn't it? But we have the story today talking about the bread of life. And what they were trying to do when it would turn to worms, they were trying to hoard for the next day so they wouldn't have to go out. And the manna wouldn't last. And it kind of goes along with, you know, Jesus saying, you know, man does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, and that we need daily bread. So let's take a look at this. This is, we're back in John 6 today. We've been talking about love the past few weeks, and I've really enjoyed that. I thought it was time to at least stay somewhat on track. Otherwise, I'll forget even what chapter we were in next time we get together. So we're going to talk about the bread of life. And so I thought it would be good to, since it's been a little while, to just rehearse where we were at that segues into this. So go ahead and start reading from John 6, verse 25. And you can just read all the way through and I'll recap what I think. Yeah.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. Do you want to read here? Oh, you got it.
John 6:25. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal in him." Then they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." Therefore they said to him, "What sign will you perform then that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe.
Amen. So let's go ahead and pray. Father, we just ask right now, Lord, for your wisdom, your counsel, and your might, Lord, your knowledge, Lord, to just fill our hearts, Lord, so that we can receive truths, Lord, even truths, God, that I don't communicate, Lord. I pray that, Holy Spirit, you would reveal the truth to each and every one of us that we need to hear here today, that will help us build our life on nothing less than you, Lord Jesus, and your work of the cross. We just ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So, last message when we were in John 6 was, don't labor for food that perishes. And that idea to them, when they heard, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. It was setting their mind in a certain type of thought process. And so in 28, they say to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? That's the same word that Jesus used. Don't labor for the food that perishes. So you could say, what shall we do that we may labor the labors of God? And how many know that the Jewish people were used to working out their righteousness?
Yeah.
They had many laws that they had to follow, many, many rules.
700 and something,
yeah,
laws.
A lot, yeah. They had a lot of rules and laws they had to follow. And so they're saying, oh, you're talking about laboring. So tell us something new then. What more should we add to our list of to-dos?
That we could, instead of wiping all those out and just do this, it's like one more thing to them.
Well, that's what they were prepared for.
Yeah.
They were a generation that had been taught, this is the way that you serve God. And you serve God by following all these rules. And believe me, there were rules that God had established for them that was for their benefit. It was so that they would stay healthy, that there would be not chaos, because there were rules of how to handle legal situations, mm-hmm, and stuff. But then there were ones that they added later on that made it almost like impossible. Like he said, I don't want you to go and plow on the Sabbath. I don't want you to work on the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a day that I made for you. I made the Sabbath day for you so that you could rest. But they had in mind that they were serving the Sabbath. They had mind that their ideas were that we had to make sure that we don't do anything to hurt the Sabbath. But the Sabbath was made for them, and they didn't see that. So they got to the place that if somebody spit and made a furrow, oh, you're plowing on the Sabbath. I mean, they took it that far.
Yeah.
And that was just one ridiculous thing that, of course, that...
Of many more.
Of many more that they did. They put many yokes upon themselves, and a lot of the leaders couldn't even handle the yokes themselves. They couldn't even handle their own rules. So they said to him, what work shall we do then that we can work the works of God? And Jesus, of course, tells them, well, this is it. This is commandment number 752. Get ready. It's a big one. No, Jesus says to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. What? They must have been like, what's he talking about? Believe in him whom he sent. That's you, but how is that the work of God? They couldn't understand that the whole idea of Messiah was to trust in Messiah. The Messiah was the worker. Messiah was the one that was going to plow the way. Messiah was the one that was going to build the house. Messiah was the one that was going to labor so that we could enter into a rest that he had for us. And they couldn't get that. I mean, we have a hard time with that today.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, how hard is it when, you know, you haven't, you know, done your... regiment that all of a sudden you start thinking, oh man, I've got to, but no, he's done the work. Everything that we do is out of relationship now, out of love, out of commitment, out of mutual relationship. Can you imagine a husband and wife if one was there just to always just serve the other?
Well, and there wasn't It used to be that way, actually.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're saying.
And there are some customs that still are that way.
Where, yeah, and you, obviously, you're talking about the wife, where the wife was basically
just the servant.
The servant,
husband.
Yeah. And it's not always good.
No. Nope.
I mean, it's not always a good ending. Sometimes relationships still work in that.
And can build,
but a lot of other times it's just a domination, it's a subservient, and there's no union,
right,
that ends up becoming, you know, other than just, excuse me, you're right, I am croaky. Must be the
while
smoke.
You're doing that, yeah, I'll say I like to get on YouTube and look at videos of people getting married and all the tears and all that stuff. I'm silly like that.
She loves it. She'll watch like, you know, five in a row. I'm like,
yeah.
And I get them mixed up. I said, why are they doing that? And that, no, it's a different wedding.
It's a different wedding. Forget about it. But this one, grandpa and grandma couldn't come because grandpa was so sick. And so they ended up getting grandpa on the phone. And so grandpa was on the phone on the microphone. And grandpa said, if you each give 50-50, you'll always meet in the middle. But if you each give 60-60, you'll both always do more for the other.
You always have excess.
But you know what, guys? It's 100%, 100%.
100%. Yeah.
There's no 50-50. It's you give 100%, I give 100%. And sometimes that's not easy to do. Sometimes that is the hardest thing to do, because if you're the one giving 100% and you don't feel like you're getting 100%, it's like, why am I doing this? Like, you know, but truly that's the way it needs to be. But God will always give 100%, no matter how much percent we give.
God's 100% was enough.
For both of us.
For all of us.
Yeah.
See, God gave the 100%.
Yeah.
And so what we do is we say, Lord, I believe that you gave 100%, and I stake my whole life, my whole eternity on the fact that you gave 100%, and I receive it with thankfulness. But it's hard.
It is hard.
So let's look at this. Jesus continues on. They continue to ask Jesus. Therefore, they said to him, what sign will you perform then that we may see and believe you? What work will you do? In other words, okay, so you didn't give us a whole bunch of works to do, and now you're saying just to believe in you. Well, they were really good Jews, because Jews love signs. You know, the parting of the Red Sea, the right. Death angel in Egypt, the manna from heaven. They had all those in their history. They had all those in their heritage. And so they're asking Jesus, okay, what are you going to perform? What are you going to do? Forgetting that the day before he fed 5,000.
Right.
What work will you do?
Right.
What are you going to do to prove to us that we are to totally trust in you? Right?
Yeah.
And they go on to say, our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. So let me explain this manna again, a little bit better detail. When they came out of what was called their bondage of 400 years in Egypt, they were delivered mightily out of the hands of the Egyptians. They were in slavery. They were being you know, persecuted. They were being killed. I mean, there was
brutalized.
All kinds of things, brutalized, all kinds of things the Egyptians were doing to them. Moses came as a deliverer sent by God, and through many plagues, and the final one being the death angel that passed through Egypt, there was a deliverance that came to them.
Mm-hmm.
So they had all this, you know, resources that they were used to having in Egypt, which mm-hmm. was probably crops and all those things. And they probably grabbed as much as they could take. They got out in the desert. And after so many days, guess what they were starting to do?
Get hungry.
Run out of food.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're saying, Moses, we're dying here. I mean, we're running out of food. What are you going to do? And Moses went to the Lord, and the Lord said, watch what I'll do. Every morning, After the dew dries up from the land, there will be
manna,
a wafer cake. Manna means what is it? It means they picked it up and said, what is it? I don't know what it is. That's what it is. Can you imagine if you named your kid, what is it? What is it? Come here.
Or a dish.
Or a dish. Yeah. What is it?
What is it?
That could, yeah. Maybe that could go for a Pillsbury deal. What, call it, what is it?
Well, I make a whatchamacallit cake. Well,
what is it cake? A little bit of everything. It's the kitchen sink. Yeah. Anyway, so this was a puzzle to them, and they called it the puzzling name. What is it? And so they would eat it every single day. It was there in the morning, and they weren't starving. They were eating manna. And it ended up getting them in trouble, but for 40 years, they ate this manna while they wandered around in the wilderness. When they crossed over, it says, into the promised land, the manna stopped.
Right.
And so that was a sign that those Hebrews, those Jews knew. And so they're saying, hey, God gave us bread from heaven, Jesus. He gave it to us to eat. Actually, our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and as it is written, and he said he gave them, and he, Jesus, knew who they were talking about. He says, Moses gave us bread to eat, Jesus. What are you going to do for us? And so Jesus says to them, listen, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven. So he sets them straight. It wasn't Moses. But my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. He's trying to say, you're focused on that miracle back then, but there's something greater here right now that's for your life, for today. There's something that has been given by the Father that is the true bread of life, the bread from heaven, and it's me. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. So, Jesus is trying to restructure their thinking. And today, we need to challenge ourselves. Do we need to have our thinking restructured? Where do we look at as our source of life? Where do we look at as our source from even God? I mean, do we look at it from a pastor? Do we look at it from our daily devotional? We say, well, that's my daily bread. That's my manna. Do we look at it from, a show that we watch weekly, that we enjoy, a great preacher? Is that where we're getting our bread from heaven?
Or is it to church on Sunday mornings?
Or is it Sunday morning? I didn't want to do that because, we don't want to touch Sunday morning because it's sacred, but no, I'm kidding. But the point being is how do we view are receiving the things from God? Do we receive them from a worldly or from an earthly to ourselves? Or is it truly bread from heaven? Do we realize that that show that we watch is a conduit that God's using to speak directly to our heart? Or when we're reading a devotion, that we're not reading someone else's devotion. We're reading something, even though someone wrote it, God was the inspiration. God was the word that inspired them. And
right.
So, Our source is always God.
Right.
It's like when you go to work and you work 40 hours and you get a paycheck. Says, I earned this with my good hard labor. No, God gave you the power to go to work, to have the ability to meet the needs of that employer so that they then felt that you earned that check. But it was only because God gave you the grace and the strength to do it. It's not your own abilities.
Right.
But see, that's the way we tend to lean. We tend to lean on the natural.
Right.
And Jesus is trying to get us to understand that even though, yes, he was in the natural, he was from heaven. It was
right.
As heaven's ambassador, heaven's representative was there with them.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
Okay.
That's good. Well, I think I do want to add something. I think that's why people have a hard time about tithing. I'm going to just bring it in.
Tithing. Okay.
Because they say, well, wait a minute. I earned that money. Why should I give God some of it? I worked hard for that. But what they don't understand is God gave them the strength. God gave them the job. God gave them the intelligence to complete that job. And the first fruits of that job money should go to him. And we don't talk enough about tithing, I don't think, but God is really into it, because he wants us to acknowledge, and that tithing is an acknowledgement that, Lord, you blessed me. Somebody else could have got that job. Somebody else could have been stronger than me. Yeah, somebody else could have, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Tithing and giving an offering helps you remember the source of
the
where
source
things
and
come
keep,
from.
Right, exactly.
Again, tithing can be looked at as, you know, it's this rule, this regulation, you know, and it ends up becoming another work instead of realizing it's a part of relationship.
Right. And well, and that's the reason that we actually did the box all those years ago, mm-hmm. and we don't take it, you know, an offering, because we believe it's part of who we are, that, Lord, I'm acknowledging that you were the one that gave me the job. You're the one that graced me the position. I'm going to give you back, you know, the 10% that your word says that I should. And what's so amazing is, I wish Panda was here, because Panda is so big on it. She's like, you know, I don't know if you guys remember the last time Panda talked about it. She said, you know, I'm gonna let you guys know, I was a tither for a long time, and then it got to be just same old, same old.
Kind of a drudgery.
To do that. And she said, and when I stopped giving for a while, my finances weren't a mess, but my life was a mess. My relationship with my husband, my relationship with my kids, my relationship with people at work. So things happen in our lives that if we're not connected with God enough, and that's why I try to give him my first in the morning, because that's, you know, my first fruit is that first early morning time. I try to do that because he deserves to know that I love him and that I'm thankful for my life. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for our kids and our grandkids. I'm thankful for all you guys. And I believe that thankfulness actually comes from recognizing where the source is.
I believe so. Yeah. I think it's hard to be grateful and thankful for something that you don't realize where it came from.
Right. Exactly.
And you know, that's what Jesus is trying to communicate here. No. Don't be thankful for Moses. Yes, he was a man that God used, but my Father is the one who gave them the bread, and my Father's giving you the true bread of life right now. Okay, then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. Because he just talked about, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. So there's this idea that he's communicating to them that they can have this life. And so they're saying, Lord, give us this bread always. We want this bread. If it's like manna, they had it for 40 years. We want to have whatever you're talking about the rest of our lives. Give it to us for the rest of our life.
Yeah.
And then Jesus said to them again, I am the bread of life.
Yeah.
They're ready for something material. They're ready for something in the physical. They're ready for something that's tangible that they can, you know, say, okay, now we know by this sign that you're definitely the one. And then he says, so I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. And he who believes in me shall never thirst. Now, I have to tell you that I've come to him and I've hungered physically. And I've come to him and I believed in him and I thirst physically. But he's talking about something that supersedes our natural state.
Right.
It supersedes what is the normal condition of mankind, where mm-hmm. if you don't eat, you're hungry. And if you don't have something to drink, you're thirsty. We're talking about a spiritual sensation that we're fully satisfied in him. That there is no need to hunger anymore. And for those of us who are hungering in our spiritual walk, we need to reevaluate, have we received that bread of life fully?
Yeah.
Or have we just sat at the table one time, maybe feasted, or we just feast on Sundays, and there's that emptiness in between.
Right.
There's that lacking. There's that longing for more. There's that hunger
mm-hmm.
that's not being fully satisfied. Why? Because we're not completely receiving the bread of life.
Yeah.
We're not feasting of the bread of life.
Yeah.
I see your little puzzler going off.
Well, that one song that we sing, and I can't remember the first verse of it, Christy, you might, but it's, this is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. It's a, that's the second verse.
Oh, yes, this is my daily bread.
And I always feel the urge whenever we sing it to sing like this. This is my daily bread, you are. I always put that in there. And the reason I do that is it reminds me he's the daily thing that I need to sustain the spiritual person of who I am. He's my daily bread. And it's not the bread that we're used to where it's a loaf that comes out at a really good restaurant that you smell it and you just can't wait to dive in and just cut that puppy and slather it with butter and eat it. It's not that, but it should be. It's like that longing for him, it should be like that. It should in my heart be like that. And I want it to be. I desire it to be. It's just life gets in the way sometimes.
Unbelief.
Yeah.
I mean,
disappointments.
Disappointments. Sometimes it's just the fact that we don't see him. You know, because unless some of you got like a really amazing relationship where you physically see Jesus, and there are some people that have those kind of relationships, we don't see him right. In our natural. We see him in our heart.
Yeah.
The eyes of our heart, we see him through his display in our lives and the love that he sheds into our hearts from, you know, his miraculous creation. We see him.
Well, I'm watching this sweet baby come back and forth to mama from Tara. And I'm thinking to myself that that's a gift.
Oh, absolutely.
That was bestowed to you guys. That right there is the love of the Father for you two, because she's perfect. And beautiful and whole and healthy and loving and giving and unconditional. Like you, to me, those are reminders of what it means to, you know, be reminded of God is my source. God, I mean, you know, I've just been watching her go back and forth as we're talking, and I'm just like, I'm just in love with her because she exudes that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we can look at our jobs that way. We can look at our spouses that way. We can look at our you know, kids that way. We can look at so many things. Mike's dad's been with us for how long has he been with us now?
Oh, he's been with us since the mid
May.
May, I think.
He's been with us, awesome. Which has never happened in our 24 years of marriage. He's never been with us this long. And my heart's breaking because I know he's starting to get the itch to leave.
He's 84 and he's got to get back on the road again.
He's got to get on the road to go work. And I'm dying inside because I want him to stay with us because I love him so much and I don't want him to leave. But I'm looking at him and I'm like, that's a gift from God.
Mm-hmm. It has been a gift from God.
Yeah. And so just, you know, it's perspective, you guys. It's introspect. Perspective. It's inside of us who Jesus is in us and recognizing that bread comes in so many forms that sometimes we take it for granted and we need to stop doing that.
Do you think this story could have been different if Jesus had been approached by them? Jesus, we just want to thank you for all that you did the other day. We want to thank you for feeding our families. And what a miracle. We're just so grateful to God. And we're thankful to you. Do you think all of a sudden maybe their eyes would have seen who he was? Because obviously he had disciples with him who saw glimpses at times of who he really was. And that their attitude, their approaching, their mode of approaching God, approaching Jesus, kept them from seeing.
It could have changed
the greatness. Story. It could have changed the story. Could have changed their lives.
But I've known Jesus since I was 7 years old. I gave my heart to the Lord. I said,
you
in my
beat.
Little, simple girl way, I'm just like, Jesus, you know, my grandma loves you. I love you, you know. That's just the way it is. And And I've come back to this several times, like, okay, let's start at A again, you know, because it's like, obviously, you're not getting it.
But it says return to your first love in those places.
It says return to your first love. And to me, returning to your first love, it's not about regiment, and it's not about, you know, remembering he's the bread of life, the giver of life, all of that. It's just love and relationship. Me and him has nothing to do with me and him, my husband, but it's just me and God. And when this is good, this is better. And we've used the example in marriage intensive that we've done, and we're talking about doing another one again, just so everybody knows. But it's like a triangle, and the closer, you know, here's wife, here's husband, here's God. As we get closer to God, we get closer to one another, because that triangle gets smaller and smaller and smaller. And so really, the way to his heart is to get to his heart, if that makes any sense whatsoever. But it's true. And recognizing that I could have been thankful 24 years, and I have been. I mean, I'm not going to say I haven't been, because I just love this man to pieces, and everybody that knows us knows that. But I could have done it better, and I know that. But as I've gotten closer to God, I know I've gotten closer to him. It's just the way, I mean, that's just the way it is. So that this has to be the way of our relationship. All of us, each one of us, singly. Because when that happens, even my kids, when I get closer to God, I'm closer to my kids. It just happens that way. Whatever's on the other side of that triangle, if I'm getting closer to God, I'm getting closer to them. If I'm getting closer to God, I'm getting closer to my pastor. If I'm getting closer to God, I'm getting closer to you guys. If I'm getting closer to God, anything, you can put anything in that slot. And it's like, wow. Man, that is just the coolest thing in the world. Cool, cool, cool.
Yeah.
Did I just sidetrack us?
No.
Oh, good.
And Jesus reminds them in verse 36, but I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. So he's getting back to the idea that even though they're seeing all the things that God was doing in their midst and hearing all the things that he was saying, because, you know, when he fed the 5,000, he was also teaching them. I mean, you know, these people had been inundated with truth and with reality, yet they wouldn't believe. And I believe what kept them from believing was their tradition. What kept them from believing was their culture and their expectations. Mm-hmm. And you could even say, as Jesus said in many other places, their hardness of heart.
Yeah. We can't hear you.
Yeah, say it. Go ahead. Come on.
No, that's true today, is that people's traditions keep them from believing the truth.
The truth, yeah. Even us, Even we can be separated from that true reality of who God is based upon how we've been either told or built our own structure of who God is.
Yeah. It reminds me of when Angel and Lorena and Littles was a baby, and he was so sick, and we prayed for him, and seeing how God brought all the Villalobos family to the Lord through that healing and through that time. It that went against your guys' belief, really, as you were, grown up. You grew up in the church, but it was that strict, you know, thou shalt do it this way and not this way and this way and not this way. But seeing that baby boy healed, it just blew up tradition completely, and God began to reach hearts in that family. Multiple families, like, I'm not kidding, it blew up. Like, how many families? Like,
lots.
More than 50 people, honestly. It changed just by Littles being healed.
Oh, and there's ones that are being changed today.
Today, through, even today.
Through families.
It's still going. It's still going on.
That's the reason, because God is interested in hearts.
That's why.
He's interested in our lives.
That's good.
He's not necessarily interested into even our belief systems. He'll bust right through our belief systems if he has to get to our heart.
Yeah, he will. I love that.
Yeah, amen. So does anyone else have anything? Bread of life. Jesus is the bread of life. Did I not say that? Maybe I didn't say that, and that would be bad if I... No, I'm kidding.
Well, here, let me read this real quick.
Okay.
The bread of life satisfies us. Do you ever have a craving? I mean, a desire for something like chocolate that simply can't be filled in any other way? Like, I've been craving ice cream like crazy for the last 4 weeks. It was just ridiculous. We long, or we crave as people, for love. We long for acceptance. We long for joy, peace, comfort. The list goes on and on. But no matter what our longings are, the bread of life can satisfy them. Still, we try to satisfy them in so many other ways sometimes. We throw one thing after another into the bottomless pit of our longings, and nothing fills it up because only the bread of life can. After all, he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Psalms 107:9.
Amen.
Beautiful.
That's good. Does anyone else have anything on their heart? No one? Okay, well, we thank you, Lord, that you are our bread. And Lord, I pray that we would realize, Lord, that you are the source, Lord, of the truth. You're the source, Lord, of life. You're the source, Lord, of everything that we have here, Lord, to live. And we want to thank you for that. But Lord, I also want us to realize, Lord, that you are the source, Lord, of our spiritual life. You're the source, Lord, of our spiritual joy. You're the source, Lord, of our spiritual well-being. And Lord, that without a full connection to you, without receiving you as our bread, not the outward things that we think we're receiving from, but realize that you are the source, Lord, that works through everything else. That, Lord, that we would draw closer to you, Lord, as we continue to make you our number one, to make you our daily bread, to make you, Lord, the very source of our spiritual and natural sustenance. And I just thank you, Jesus, for this time together. And we just ask, Lord, that we would realize, Lord, that you are the air that we breathe. Yeah. You are, Lord. You are daily bread. You are the one, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Hi, guys.
Cheyenne, what did you do to yourself, girl?
Oh, my goodness, I didn't. Did you cut your hand?
No. I have ulnar nerve palsy.
Oh, wow.
Ulnar nerve.
Oh, palsy. Paul, do you need prayer?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
You ready to pray?